Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. From vouchers to charter schools to Common Core, author and education policy analyst and historian Diane Ravitch, who is a former Assistant Secretary of Education, has written about the foremost education topics of the day. In her new book, Reign of Error, she talks about the dangers of privatizing public schools. She also questions the usefulness of the Common Core curriculum. Welcome to The Source, Diane Ravitch.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Our phone lines are open. We want to have questions and comments from our listeners. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. We're continuing our conversation about the future of public education and charter schools and vouchers and the Common Core curriculum. Diane Ravitch, let me ask you, people may be familiar with you. You've written quite a bit about this, and you've been an outspoken person on education, and you had been someone who was an advocate for charter schools, but now not so much, right?
Well, I'm probably the most outspoken critic of charter schools because I was a member of the first George Bush administration back in the early 90s. At that time, I thought that they sounded like a great idea. But the way things have worked out, they've become an opportunity for entrepreneurs to make money in education, and that was not what I thought it would be. So I felt we all believed in something that didn't come true.
So was the your objection that some people are making money off of this, or what about the student outcomes?
Well, my objection is that all the promises turned out to be false. Students don't perform better in charter schools unless they exclude the kids who are the most difficult to teach. Many of the charter schools that get high test scores exclude students who are English learners. They exclude students who have disabilities, and they kick out kids who don't get the test scores they want. So that, of course, is a selection process, and that makes them look better. I know that San Antonio is about to bring in a huge number of charters, and I think it's a tremendous mistake because some of the charters they're bringing in are known in Arizona for their attrition practices that kick out the low-performing kids or exclude them from the very outset.
And so you're talking about the self-selection. So, of course,
not just self-selection, school selection.
School selection.
There's this belief that parents are choosing, but it's not the parents who choose. The schools are choosing the students.
Right. So the schools are saying, we got all these students are coming in. They sit down the first day, and then we realize that one of the kids who's here, not that good of a reader, I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to stick around here. And send them back to public school?
Well, what they do is that, and this is not true of every single charter school, there'll be exceptions, but this is a common practice among charter schools, is that they will keep the kids until after the enrollment count for the year so that they collect the money, the full year of tuition for the student, and sometime that count is on October 15th or October 30th. And then they say, you know, this is really not the right school for you, and we're going to hold you back, or we're going to call your mother in every single day. And at some point, the student gets the message and they leave. They go back to the public school, but they don't bring any money back with them because the money is left with the charter.
Many people, when they talk about charter schools, they recollect the documentary Waiting for Superman, which talked about charter schools. And you have called that film propaganda. Can you talk
that
about
that? That film was sheer propaganda. It was funded by a billionaire in Colorado who wants to privatize everything. And the statistics in it were phony. And the depictions, I mean, they had stage scenes in there. It was not a documentary. And that's why it was ultimately not even considered for an Academy Award because of the stage scenes and also because of the I wrote an article in the New York Review of Books just saying it was propaganda. And they don't give Academy Awards for propaganda. The other thing I would say about charters is that Texas has more Gulen schools, Gulen charter schools, than any other state in the country. There are 45 of them. These are schools that are associated with an imam, a Turkish imam, who lives in the backwoods of Pennsylvania and runs a large political movement in Turkey. Now, I understand they frequently take politicians over to Turkey and show them the wonders of that country, and then they come back and they vote for Gulen charter schools. This is the biggest charter chain in the country, and as I said, there are 45 of these schools. They focus on math and science, but they're also known for kicking out kids with disabilities. I mean, basically, we're, by approving all these charter schools, what we're doing is abandoning public education, and public education is one of the most important institutions. in any democratic society.
Well, where we left off half an hour ago with our other guests, we were talking about there's about 2 to 3% of the available student population in the U.S. going to charter schools. So, I mean, it's
actually more than that. It's about 5 or 6% now.
Okay.
And in some cities, and I think where this is dangerous is there are some cities now where the numbers are very large, like in Washington, D.C., almost 50% of the kids in Washington are charter. New Orleans, it's almost completely charter. There are other cities where it's 20%, 30%, 40%, and the public schools are dying.
And in New Orleans, that's because of Katrina? Was that a factor?
Because of Katrina, because Katrina offered, it's what Naomi Klein wrote a book about it called The Shock Doctrine. It's an opportunity for people to wipe out the existing public institutions and replace them with privatized institutions. And actually, they're not doing it. It is the worst performing district in the state of Louisiana. And there's just like Waiting for Superman was propaganda. The story about the New Orleans miracle is also propaganda. Most of the charter schools in New Orleans are doing very poorly. And when the media comes in, they focus on the handful that have carefully selected their students and are doing very well.
So we hear one story about charter schools being fantastic, and you say that's propaganda. But what about the story about our public schools being full of suck? Is that propaganda?
Well, that's not true. I mean, the fact is that one of the things I did in my book, the one you referred to, the Reign of Error, was that it was an opportunity to do fact-checking. And I realized that the people who want to privatize the schools carry on this narrative. And, you know, I'm now lapsing into my Texas, background because I grew up in Houston. But they carry on as though the public schools suck, they're terrible, they've never been worse. And I thought I would fact-check it. So I went to the U.S. Department of Education website and found out, lo and behold, test scores for the past 40 years have been recorded by the federal government in a sampling test. They're the highest point ever in history today than they are, ever. So far from they suck, public schools are doing incredibly well for white students, black students, Hispanic students, and Asian students. Graduation rates are at their highest point in history. The dropout rate is at its lowest point in history. Do we have problems in public education? Of course we do. Are the kids better off if they go to a charter school or a voucher school? Absolutely not. They won't even be accepted into those schools. If they don't do well, they'll be kicked out.
But we hear that charter schools provide choice, and just maybe the modality of that local public school maybe not right for my junior, but maybe if he goes to the charter school, they'll have the color of the walls will be different, and somehow that impacts
right.
his education.
Well, you know, this is the irony, and I think it helps to have some historical perspective. I graduated from Houston Public Schools in 1956, and the talk at that time, not just in Texas, but all over the South, was we need choice. We need choice so that white kids can go to white schools and black kids can go to black schools, and that way we can avoid complying with the Brown decision, which said that segregation was wrong. And all of the leaders of the segregationist movement were champions of choice. So you now have people saying, oh, choice is an absolute necessity.
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation. Diane, we got to take a quick break, just a minute long, but we come back. We're going to talk more about, with Diane Ravitch, about public schools and reforming them and what's wrong and what's right, and about Common Core. We invite your calls and your comments. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We will be right back. Public education, we invest in it, we look at it, we try and figure out, is it working? If it's not working, some are saying the solution is charters, or they say we need to go to Common Core, we need to go to vouchers. With us on the line, Diane Ravitch. She is an education historian and a reformer and an author, and we're talking about the future of public education across the United States. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And let's go to the phones. Kathy has called in. Kathy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. My comment is, it seems pretty obvious to me what one of the big things to help schools would be. Pay the teachers more. If they weren't being paid total crap for all the incredibly hard work they do, you know, getting paid more, you care more, you have better retention, you don't get as much burnout. And I really have never understood why we pay teachers so little. And while I don't personally support charter schools for exactly the reasons laid out, you know, obviously you're going to get better test scores if you choose kids with better test scores. Do charter schools pay teachers any better than public?
All right, Kathy, thank you for those comments. And so, Dan, do charter schools pay teachers better?
No, they don't. In fact, charter schools have a business model where they prefer to have inexperienced young teachers right out of college, usually Teach for America, are young kids who may have very little experience, so that they're at the very bottom of the wage scale, and then after 2 years or 3 years, they burn out and they go do something else, and then they hire some more other inexperienced people. So this is how a lot of charter schools make a lot of money, because they're getting full tuition for the kids, and they don't have experienced teachers. They don't have any who are at the top of the salary scale. They don't have pensions. And that's a big cost saving for them. You got to remember, one of the ways the private sector makes money is by cutting costs. And if they could outsource our kids, they probably would. But I do think the teachers should be paid more. I think it's a scandal that teachers are the lowest paid of any profession. We expect teachers should have a professional background. They should have the years of study and preparation. And then when they're experienced, they should be paid well. Right now what's going on across the country is an effort in state after state to cut, not just to cut their salary, but to eliminate their right to, I won't call it tenure, to due process. And that makes it easier to fire expensive, experienced teachers. We're going backwards in this country. In other words, teaching should be a respected and well-paid profession.
Some progressives have alleged that there is a cause, and this is not a coincidence, that the states are cutting funding to education, like we've seen here in Texas. You get poorer results in schools because of that, and then they say, see, we need charter schools because of those outcomes.
Well, Texas has been outrageous in the amount of money that it cut out of public education. It was just a couple of years ago that the legislature cut $5 billion and at the same time gave out a contract to the Pearson Testing Company for $500 million. Texas is paid more to Pearson than any other state in the country, and kids are tested too much. I mean, the more time you spend testing, the less time you have to actually teach. So I think that the policymakers, I'm a great fan of the groups in Texas that besieged the legislators and said, roll back all the testing. But in the meanwhile, the money that was cut, the $5 billion that was cut, has never been restored.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Angela has called in. Angela, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. My comment is, I've heard a lot of criticism on the charter schools for discriminating against kids that are not doing well. My problem is that I would much prefer my son to go to our local school district, but they don't make any accommodations for the gifted and the talented. I mean, there is a gifted and talented program, but it has a lot of shortcomings. Now, they spend a lot of money with a 504 plan for students that aren't doing well, but they don't really make a lot of accommodations for kids who are succeeding really well. So now I drive 35 minutes each way so that my child can go to BASIS, the charter school.
Okay, Angela, thank you for your call. We appreciate that. So, I mean, so parents are not going to think about the large problem. They're thinking about their kid and what's best for their individual child, and maybe that charter school would be better for them. Diane?
Well, I can see that where parents would think of, what's best for my child, but the problem is that if we all thought that way, we would not have a public education system, and we would have a completely segregated society once again. And we might think the same way about public beaches. Why should we have public beaches? Why should we have public parks? Why should we have police protection? Why not just let the rich have their guards and the rest of us carry guns, which I guess is what you do in Texas anyway. But I think that there is something called a civic consciousness. What's for the good of society? I mean, I'm a strong believer that you have to have a strong private sector, but at the same time, you have to have a good public education. This is the public education has been the essential element of our democracy for many, many years in this country. And if we allow people who want to tear it apart to take over it, you're going to see a lot of failing schools. There'll be charters. They won't be closed because they'll be making contributions to politicians. That's what's already happening in many states. In Ohio, there's some terrible charter schools But the owners of them make so much money that they're able to contribute millions of dollars to the politicians, and their schools are never closed or held accountable. So it's a really, it seems to me that if we want to have a better society, and I know that it's hard to think of what's good for society and not just what's good for me, the question is, are you going to be a citizen or are you going to be a consumer? If you're going to be a consumer, then we'll all split off and have our own little schools. But if you're going to think about what's best for society, we should all work together. Take your neighborhood public school and insist that they reinstate a program for the gifted. Make sure that they are serving the needs of all the kids in the neighborhood. That's why we have public education.
All right, back to the phones. Bill has called in. Bill, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you very much, and thank you for this program. My child also goes to a charter school here in San Antonio. I don't live in an affluent area, trust me. But we put I went to the open house for the public school that my child would attend, and what they had to offer, meeting the teachers, I just did not see it there. So we searched around, and we put our child in a charter school, and he comes home some days almost crying. No, he does cry with the workload from physics to chemistry to from his math. And we say, well, you know, we ask him, is this too much on you? Do you want to go to the public school? And he says, no, he actually loves it. Even though he's crying, he loves it because it's a challenge, and he loves to go to school with kids that actually want to learn. And so there's goods and there's bad. And I must say, I've listened and I respect the guest, but the good of society, I would say, is fix the school system first, and I'd be more than happy to send my child back to a public school. But if my child does not get educated, he cannot be a member of society that contributed and be all that he can. And when I have a child, it's my duty to give him the best, even if I have to do without. I have served on the schools. I have tried, but it seems like they feel like their hands are tied, whether they're not getting paid enough or whatever. But the sense of duty or dignity into raising the level in public schools, this seems like it's so political. And I would just say, let's fix that first, and I will be more than glad to bring my child back into the public school system. But till it's not, it's my obligation as a parent to give my child the best that he can succeed.
And absolutely, Bill. Thank you so much, Bill. Appreciate your phone call. Great call. So, Diane, what do you say to Bill?
Well, you know, Bill, I can understand your feeling, and I'm a product of the use of public schools, and I know they've changed a lot. I do think, though, that a community has to pull together. Milwaukee, and I'll give you some examples, and in my book I give many more such examples. Milwaukee has had charter schools now for 24 years. It's had vouchers for 24 years. It has a shrinking public school system. And at the end of the day, when these three sectors are compared, the charters, the vouchers, and the public schools, they all do the same, and they all do terribly. And what's happened to Milwaukee is that it's got three competing sectors. All of them are failing sectors. It's one of the lowest.
Right, but can't public schools be given more latitude or leverage, being able to rein in troublemakers and find and be able to help kids like Bill's kid and give him that level of work and the help and being able, and maybe not all kids want that, but then, you know, can you sidestream those kids?
Well, it sounds like what Bill wants for his son, and I assume it's a son, he said it's a boy, mm-hmm. is a more rigorous education, and he should be able to get that in public school. And if he's not and he pulls out, then if all the motivated parents leave, you can see what will happen to the public school. It will simply wither and become the school of last resort. It will be the school where all the kids who got excluded from the charter schools will be in the public schools. It's a way of killing off the public sector. Now, there are two different kinds of people who are pushing. This is a national movement. It's not just Texas, obviously. The national movement is supported, first of all, by people who don't like government, and so they would not like to see government schools, and they would like to see the public sector fail. And this is why they keep saying our public schools stink, our public schools are terrible, and why in my book I showed with the data, our public schools don't stink. The test scores, if that matters, and a lot of people think it matters a lot, test scores are the highest they've ever been in history. But aside from the ideologues who just hate government, There are some incredibly wealthy people, some of them on Wall Street, some of them running hedge funds, who see an opportunity to make money. And I can I could cite lots of chapter and verse on charter operators who are making millions and millions of dollars, pulling it out of taxpayers' pockets and into their own, because they're able to offer, in many cases, really bad schools. But they say, well, look, you've got a choice. And the kids don't stay long. You can, I guess it sounds like Bill found a good charter school, and that's good for him. But you could, again, I'm looking at this as a historian. I don't think it's good for our society. We're going to end up with black charter schools, white charter schools, Hispanic charter schools. In Minneapolis, they have Hmong Vietnamese charter schools, German-American charter schools.
Diane,
I mean, we are repealing the Brown decision. Now, maybe you think
Dan, we're out of time. Thank you so much, Diane Ravitch, who is a former Assistant Secretary of Education, written so much about education in the U.S. Thanks for joining us. This is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.